is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Tuesday. It's raining out there. It's not too pleasant. I've been driving, coming over to the studio a few minutes ago. Hopefully, if you are driving, you're doing it safely and not texting and going bananas with that crazy little thing we got going out there with people texting. You know, they're not even looking down. They need different type of mirrors to drive. But anyway, this is Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every day, or every Tuesday, between 1 and 2, and the show is, as I said, Disaster Recovery Hour, and what we do here is we talk about emergencies regarding property and disasters nationally, internationally, locally. I've had some good experiences and being in the world of disasters with good experiences with meeting great people, not that the disaster itself was good. So last week was our first show on the station. This is WVNJ, AM 1160, The Voice. Like I said, what we talk about is disasters and preparing for the disasters. And if you do have them, what can you do to mitigate further damage from that? There's a big movement in the country more lately because, again, we had the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan. So the papers and the news are we prepared? And you know what? I've been doing this a long time. I think I consider myself a little bit of ahead of the curve, if you will. I don't like to talk about what's already been spoken about, but I'm a very lucky person where I get a lot of information from individuals, whether they're part of a government organization or part of a corporation, and so I get these emails and I get these tweets and things like that about things that we should discuss out there on the airways. Some things are not being discussed, so I kind of consider the show one of the hats is like a public service show. Trying to get the information out there to you guys. It is the metropolitan area, so we're affected as millions of people in our area, in the listening area, and just came up on the board. There's New Jersey Office of Emergency Management. They're to be doing some drills this weekend, so don't panic if you see hundreds of first responders doing what they should be doing, preparing for if a disaster does occur. With that, don't call 911 and saying, why is there 1,500 police and firemen at the Meadowlands doing some drilling? And the counties will encompass Morris, Union, Essex, Bergen, Hudson, Passaic, and Middlesex counties. So they do this periodically. A good buddy of mine, Nick Moracy, who's no longer with the state police of OEM, he's moved on to another agency in Pennsylvania. He and I used to have frequent talks about these drills. I used to talk to some of my clients, management companies, insurance companies, and talk about the first responders and how they interact with us, because these guys are the first guys on the job. The fires or the police with vandalism or crowd control, if you will, and then the disaster part of the business, the cleanup, the mitigation part of it. That's where I come in with some other guys. There's other guys in the industry, some other good companies out there. I am a sole proprietor of my own company. It's CPP Emergency Services and Restoration. Been in this business for about 10 years. Prior to that, I ran different types of crews for demolition and also construction. In the last 10 years, on the heels of 9/11, I got into the emergency end of it, and it's been very rewarding, if you will. Opened my eyes to a lot of things. If you do have any comments, last week's show I had Paul Wagner and Nancy Murdoch from MMRC Haiti. That's a organization that does work down in Haiti after the earthquake. But I'll talk about opening my eyes. I get all this information, like I said at the beginning, from so many different sources. I get bombarded, and I try to pick out, decipher, what are the things that are applicable to us in this area. This month is Earthquake Preparedness Month and Awareness Month. I don't think it's really going to be happening here in the New York and New Jersey area. We do have a fault line. We all are aware of that fault line now since the the earthquake in Japan and the nuclear plant. So you have Indian Point up there that's got some issues on a fault line. We're going to try to talk to somebody about that in the next couple of weeks. It was a good idea that we bring in somebody to talk on one side and talk on the other side. The pros and cons of everything. It is America, and we there's definitely two sides to every coin. Now that we're into the spring, we're into the rain. Like I said, it's when I was driving over, it's raining out pretty hard out there. Little tips and trades of the industry of how you could offset any further damage if something happened in your house, like flooding. So you might want to check these are real simple tools that, again, I come across from other people. I think the smartest guy in the room is not always the guy who's his mouth's moving the fastest. With that, we do have a question. Let's look at these tips for a few minutes. Let's go with the air quality. Check on the air quality of your house. It is this time of year. Look at the filters. The house has been sealed up all winter. I think, you know, changing out the filters or even bringing an HVAC guy just to take a peek at it. You know, a little service call if you don't have a service contractor ready. And you also have the outside stuff, you know, gutters, trees, things like that. With the springtime comes the heavy rains. It also comes with the wind. I actually had to revisit some of the trees in my yard, and I already got that taken care of for next month. Do a little tree trimming, if you will. I know it's not romantic. You say, hey, come on, give me some disasters. That is a disaster. You know, I've been to plenty of homes where trees have gone through the home. So let me go to this. I have a web question from Harold. How you doing, Harold? Enjoyed the show last week. I was wondering if you could tell me how much the cost of restoration after a disaster is usually covered by a typical homeowner's insurance policy. It's a good question. A lot of policies have stock verbiage, if you will. You know, there's you go to McDonald's and you get everything on your burger, but you can get this. You can add it. It's what we call riders, and there's other terms for it. But what is covered? There's different types of losses. You have your water loss that could be covered just on the structure. There could be coverage on the contents. If it's a homeowner's policy, it's a renter's policy. So talking to your broker, I think I talked about it last week, because I ran into all this flooding that happened out in off the Ramapo and Passaic. A lot of people weren't covered. So it really depends on what your policy is reading. And as a homeowner, and even as a renter, it is your responsibility to mitigate further damage. So here's an example. Let's go with an apartment building. You live in the second floor, third guy, his water line breaks, floods your apartment. Well, do you rent that apartment? Yes, you do. Do you have renter's coverage? Yes, you do. Now, what does that encompass? Now, most policies entail you'll have the paint outside on the outside of the wall and your personal property, couches, area rugs, wall-to-wall carpeting, all those types of things. So, but now you have issues regarding structure and drying. Now, that's going to be the maintenance, and that's going to be part of the building's responsibility. So cutting up on your walls or plaster or drywall, whichever it is, you're going to need to bring in the management company, and which it gets a little dicey sometimes, because you as the homeowner or you as the renter, you want to have action just right then and there, right? Let's make this happen. But the management company's got to be prudent. They got to take a look at, okay, what's damaged? How far should I cut? And along those lines. And then there's the repair bill. Who's responsible for that? If that gives you on the renter side. Now, the homeowner's policy, that's should be nice and simple, as well, as long as you have the proper coverage. Now, that's why I said last week, talk to your broker and take a look at your policy every single year, because it might be outdated. So if you had a fire, you have smoke damage throughout the entire place. Naturally, you need to be cleaned. What was the fire? What was the cause and origin? How far did it travel? What was the heat line? And what are the affected properties? And then there's the rebuild end of it. If you know, and that's going to take a while. A lot of when I come onto these jobs, a lot of people after the cleaning, they think, okay, the cleaning's done, I'm back, but I still can't live here because you ripped out the walls, blown out windows, whichever it may be, however severe the damage was. There's a process, and it takes a while. And it's not because people are dragging their feet because of dollars, but they want to set the scope of work properly, okay? And that's really where it falls apart. Good companies know how to pick up the pieces, other companies don't, because setting the scope, the apples to apples instead of the apples to oranges, is the challenge, because the insurance company has its own thoughts of what needs to be repaired, and the contractor or homeowner, I should say, has his thoughts what needs to be repaired. Now you have the middleman, which is myself or, you know, ABC company. They need to navigate through there, and that's the key. That's what I think separates companies from other companies, is how to navigate and find the common ground and to expedite the repair work. So with that said, let's go to a break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. That would be in the afternoon to some of you nighttime people. Harold, if I explained myself properly, I hope I did. Like I said, I've been doing it a couple of years now. There's also some of those wild cards when it comes to typical homeowners insurance policies. There's 80% that's normal. Then there's the 20%. And that 20% could encompass subletting, for example. You know, New York City and some of the other city areas around here. You know, there's the rent insurance on top of the rent insurance, and so on and so forth. There's some different variances out there. But I'll tell you this: you know, the carriers, the insurance carriers, and even your management companies, they're dealing with these things on a daily basis. So it seems like they're not in your corner, but they really are. But they have a job to do. They need to go A, B, and C. They don't go outside the lines because it's insurance, and like insurance is encompassed with the banking industry. It's banking and insurance committees in D.C. So, and it's about the dollars. But there's also a human side to it. And listen, your tragedy or your disaster is, whether it's a couple of $1,000 or, you know, it's your leather couch that you just love after a full, you know, a hard day's work, is just as important to, saying, a house being destroyed by fire. You know, so I don't minimize those types of things, and a lot of guys in the industry, like myself, there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of good guys out there. They know how to differentiate what's important, what's not, and what's important to you. I did say the wrong phone number, the last four digits, just before we went to break. It's 1-800-962-1160. That's 1-800-962-1160. As I was reading Harold's question to me before, we were still talking about some of this springtime stuff. I said I was coordinating for next month with some of these trees. You know, with the heavy trees, you know, you don't even, they look alive, but the inside, they're just rotted out and they're dead. So it's really important. And it's a funny thing, if you don't have that type of coverage, that's why calling up your broker and say, listen, I just heard the other day about, you know, if a tree falls on my neighbor, and who's going to be covered for it, or if it's on my shed, it's detached from the house. This is the kinds of stuff that you need to know as a homeowner, because when it happens, you don't have those questions in your head. You're panicked, you're freaked out, and rightfully so. So doing the due diligence on the homeowner's policy, because it is your policy, you should really take a look at it. Spend a weekend, and see if there's some things that you're not covered for. And also, you know, there's also the valuables. Well, you have artwork, we have jewelry. Those are the kinds of things that you definitely need to make sure it's covered, or it's been noted, or it's been scheduled. Because you know, you have people come into your house. You have people after a disaster that happens, you have numerous parties coming in, and they could be responsible, you know, respectful. Something gets missed years ago that you weren't looking for after the fact, and you're saying, hey, theft. Those are the things, and you know what? It's not covered. So you should definitely take a look at your policies. I have another question. It's a web question. Could you explain what, if any, of the maintenance is needed on my heater yearly? It scares me. I see the flame kick in, and it concerns dust balls. And, well, yeah, definitely dust balls sometimes could catch fire. Is this a common problem? Yes, it is. Is it low to the ground, so it's very accessible? It's gas, and it sits in a dusty back room. Those are just like eight great things that need to be addressed. Eight things. You know, first of all, you have to, I talk about it when I come to the homes. Your emergency numbers, everybody knows 911. You should have your plumber's number and your electrician's number right next to the 911. I mean, these guys you have to have in your the proverbial toolbox. You know, you smell gas, PAC&G, right? Okay, so what about the flicker of lights? You know, it could be a light bulb, could be a bad breaker. You know, it could be, you know, a lot of older homes in the Jersey and the New York area, in Westchester up there, in parts of Connecticut, or the Northeast, I should say. I shouldn't even just single us out. But electrical panels haven't been upgraded in years. You know, get a guy to take a look. At least have him give you suggestions. You know, so I think the hot water heater, your furnaces, they sit in back in utility rooms, out of sight, out of mind. Mine are pretty exposed for any maintenance work that needs to be done on it. Unfortunately, I started learning that after I got in the business, and I didn't have any issues prior to not getting into the emergency end of the business, but it's accessible. Guys come over to my house, so I get it maintained every quarter. Like I talked about with the HVAC system, checking out my filters, changing from the humidifier side of it. So you should definitely have a plumber, and you should have an electrician. And you should also do, you know, your own due diligence of cleaning and around the area. A lot of people see that flame and they panic. And also, you also can have the backdraft on that with the carbon monoxide coming into the house. I'm not telling you that's what's happening. I'm just telling you these are things that I've come across on my jobs throughout this course of my career. So, Ginny, I hope that was helpful enough. But you definitely, and also I see that, you know, laying on the, you know, it's low to the ground. A lot of people out in the Wayne area, Little Falls, a lot of their utilities are up on blocks because they have flooding issues. So it's not a bad thing, even if you're in a dry area, it's not a bad, you know, have your plumber. It's all about disconnecting and just shortening some of the lines, the tin work that's above it. And another thing, peace of mind. Hopefully, again, that was helpful. We have another one from Margaret. Get a share of rough weather, floods, etc. But I'm so glad we live in a part of the country that doesn't really have to deal with hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and other natural disasters. Well, I would beg to differ a little bit, only because it's happening more frequently lately. We did have our first tornado this past summer, touchdown in Queens and Brooklyn, and Staten Island did not get the thumbs up from FEMA regarding or the National Weather Service regarding a classification of a tornado, so they got rooked on that one because I saw a lot of damage in Staten Island. Hurricanes, we don't get them the way you say it. We did have what it was last year in March. It was 54 weeks ago that we had that that Saturday night when that storm rolled in. That was pretty hairy. I was out of power for 5 days. That was prior to me getting my backup generator. Thank you very much, Captain Dan O'Brien from Academy Electric. Earthquakes, no, we don't, but we do sit on a fault line. I mean, the entire world is sitting on some form of fault line. But one of the things I always find about our area is we don't have really Mother Nature problems. We got human nature problems. I'm being facetious, obviously, because I love thy neighbor. Yeah, sure. But Margaret, if it makes you feel any better, I love living here too. I think it's I did live away another part of the country, a couple places, and I wouldn't trade it for all the money in the world right now because I love our area. You get so many things to do, and you have great weather, and also with the four seasons. But with the four seasons, keeps me rather busy because you have different types of losses per season. You know, you have the winter with the freezing of the pipes and people with candles and holiday lighting brings on disasters. I like to think that I'm in a business that it's not about capitalizing on someone else's tragedies, but I'm there to kind of ease their pain, if you will. And like I said, there's other good guys out there, the good managers of this industry. To bring them from point A to point B with the repairs or pass them off to somebody or just get them that information that would be helpful with their anxieties. If you just joined us, this is a Disaster Recovery Hour, WVNJ AM 1160, The Voice. We do broadcast out of Oakland and. Out of Oakland, New Jersey, so our power is shooting over to New York, bounces off of there, gets out to Long Island, up in Westchester, so we get around here, and regarding that information, I get a lot of information from FEMA, and I get extremely a lot of information from FEMA, and I know FEMA throughout the years have gotten some of the things they've done wrong, and I will agree with that. I know there is some issues with major issues. I don't know personally. I've been in the FEMA trailers, but I don't know what they've actually been doing. But there's a lot of information regarding what's happening with these trailers. But FEMA also gives out a lot of public service information. I mean, FEMA is a government agency. We pay our taxes, so somebody better be doing their job over there. And unfortunately, FEMA, like everybody, we reevaluate what we do on the preparedness side in this country. So after the earthquake, the tsunami, what can we do to prepare ourselves over here? And hence the reason we have this, the nuclear plants be reevaluated and where they sit, whether fault line or by the ocean. And some of them are coming up for renewal on their licenses. And like I said, we're going to try to talk to somebody from one of the agencies to come out and talk about that, see if we can get some intel on the process and what does the public need to know and what's the safeties and what's the pros and cons. With that said, let's shoot to a little paid advertising, if you will, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Thanks a lot. And we're back. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett. Like I said, it's every Tuesday between 1 and 2. You want to check us out, you can go to the webpage, you can Facebook, Twitter, twitter.com for comments, /DRH Radio, and there's also facebook.com/DRH Radio. I understand I got a phone call from a buddy of mine saying, slow down, you talk too fast, and I can get a little jacked up, talk about preparedness. I do have... I find the preparedness world and the emergency world very exciting for me. I got some good passion for it. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about FEMA. You know, go to their website because they actually have plans, disaster plans, and they classify them as disaster plans for different parts of the country. This being the computer age, I know I have some guys out down south, out west, in the middle of the country. Listening to the program on their computer. I went to an academy last month for disaster restoration and also disaster preparedness and mitigation. Learned a lot more things. I've been doing this a long time and learned a lot more things, expanding my knowledge. Going to go to another school pretty soon on some other things regarding hazmat, trying to get some background and some education on that. I think wearing a couple more hats is my need, and with talking about government agencies, the Red Cross. It's a lot of people think it's part of the government, but it's actually not. They have a very big say on what goes on out there, and rightfully so. They've been around for a very long time. I do have a friend who's up here in the Bergen County area, Charles Maltleby. He's a disaster coordinator for them. He's in the field. He's been busy the last couple of weeks. But what I'm really want to talk about is, touch a little bit about is the Red Cross part of it. And, you know, they're not just donuts and hot coffee. They have their own website. They're out there full force when these disasters happen, setting up tents. They even, you know, if there's a fire in Patterson or Newark, multi-dwelling building, even the single families, you know, they come out there. They'll contact the first responders and say, hey, listen, what happened? Do the occupants need housing? Do they need some psychological, need a shoulder to cry on? And, you know, Charles opened my eyes to a lot of things, and I say that kind of frequently. I guess my eyes have been closed for a long time, evidently. But he's really made me understand the Red Cross and all the different functions they do. And they're a major player over there in Japan, doing some good work. And you know, just the comfort of the cross and the white and the clean and the, you know, in a time of chaos, it gives you some feel of comfort, you know, to see them, that they're there, that they care. I do have a comment page from Brody to Margaret, actually. Some luckier than others. I've been flooded 3 times with the river. The snow caused some damage to my home, and they say New Jersey is due for a hurricane hit soon. I agree with that. I've also experienced an earthquake on New Jersey in the 80s. I was here for that earthquake. It was a rumbler. I also was in Tennessee last month for an earthquake. Mr. Brody, is it Brody the first or the last name? And you're right. The weather is, and it's my opinion, I believe that man-made issues here. That there's global warming. I don't care what people say. You know, the weather is not the way it was when I was a kid. You know, I grew up here in the Bergen County area, and snow was deeper. The nights were colder. The days were colder. And, but back then you stayed out of the house. You didn't go in the house. That's for sure. You were out from the sun up to sundown, no matter what type of weather it was outside. And, flooding three times. If you're living out there by the rivers, they've gotten deeper and they've creeped into more neighborhoods than they've ever done before. And I've seen that three years running. It's not the way it used to be. Flooding would be national news, but now it's every other, once a year you're getting national attention for it. But regarding, if we want to talk about the flooding thing, that's it comes on what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. You gotta call your insurance company. Or even if you live in an apartment building, talk to your management company. Say, what plans do you have in place? Because the boiler system for an apartment building is in the basement. It gets flooded out. What now? What's the backup plan? And I'm not saying go out and spend the insurance company's money or the property management's company. I'm just saying, be prepared. Just take a peek. What is the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? I mean, look at what I said at the beginning of the show with the OEM put out an alert regarding drilling this weekend. God forbid, we have a major disaster and our fire departments and our police departments are unprepared and we're going to be up in arms. So, it's the same thing. I'm a firm believer that if you take care of the small stuff, like take care of your own home, monitor your own home, have your own plans at home, and I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. The government or your municipality should be doing the same thing. Long Island, they're always getting crushed with water and the bad weather out there on the island. I got some good buddies in the same line of business I am. They're busy all the time because the island gets crushed a lot. So I would take a look if you live in a multi-dwelling building, five stories, six stories, 20 stories, 100 stories, whatever. See what plans are in effect. And most of the management websites that you go on or you click on, they'll give you the do's and don'ts, and they usually have some form of contingency planning. Regarding contingency, in a couple of weeks I'm going to have the Long Island chapter of contingency planners. Excuse me. They're going to be on the show. I came across them at a trade show, and it interests me because of again the FEMAs and the OEMs of the states and nationally. They're having a lot to. They're the main guy at the scene or woman. They're calling the shots when a disaster or a disaster is declared a disaster. So I found some of their local chapter in Long Island, and they're encompassing all types of stuff. And that means they're bringing in the power company, they're bringing in the fire departments, the police departments, civilian companies, all to be prepared and to mitigate after these disasters hit ground, if you will. So I think that's going to be a really, really good show. And then I got a ton of other specialty guests that are informative, and also I'm a big proponent of backup power. We live in an area when we lose power, it's rather lengthy because the system is old and antiquated, and that comes right from the top. I got a buddy of mine who knows these things very well, so getting backup equipment is key, and which ties into, it's funny how these things, you talk about one thing, boom, it jogs my mind about something else, and then into something else, and then something else. So having a backup generator is huge, and I'm not talking about sticking one in your garage where you can choke out. You should have it on the outside of your home. You should be properly wired to jump into your panel. I give you the terminology, if you will, but the bottom line is you should have it outside. You should have a licensed electrician come in and hook it up properly. It should be stored in the right area. And there's different types of generators for that. And that's going to be one of our shows, I think, at the end of the month. Not this month, but the end of May. We're going to be talking with a good friend of mine, Dan O'Brien. Guy's a guru when it comes to the generators, and he's known throughout the Bergen County area and Passaic, and he's also a volunteer fireman. So this is a Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. Like I said, we do take questions. The three different avenues, if you want to shoot out to us, there's the Facebook, and then there's Twitter, and there's the phone number. The phone number is, again, it's 800-962-1160. Got that right. I think I said 1600. I was thinking about the White House and old Barack Obama, I guess, before when I said that. So I want to talk about some of the planning that when I go to some of my jobs, I talk about exit planning, exit strategies for homeowners. You know, they got kids, they got dogs, they got a mother and daughter house. They could have grandma living in the basement. You know, this past week there was an elderly person, two weeks ago, died in an attic. But there was no real plan, and I'm not blaming anybody. It's not about that. It's about, okay, we saw this happened. What could we do to offset this in the future, or make people aware of it? And that's where I like to think the show's got its value. I think it's got a lot of good value. But one of the little nuggets I like to think is, you know, human life preparedness. You know. I remember back in the old days, I remember the fire department came by, they gave you the stickers, and they put it up in the kids' bedrooms, you could see from the outside, and that's how they knew that there were children in the house. I really think you should spend some time with the kids and your wife, and if you have an elderly person in the house, or even physically challenged, you should have some form of exit strategy for them, and there should be a meeting place. And I'm gonna really hit home with that when I bring in some of my buddies from the fire department. We're really gonna talk about that and make your eyes go, ooh, you know, that's a good one. That's a good one. I gotta take care of that. But you know, it's the preparedness is a broken record, and there's corporations out there that spend millions of dollars about preparedness, and it's well worth it, because you know what preparedness is? It comes out of dollars in my mind. So let's go to a break, and when we get back, we're going to be back, and I'm going to talk some more. How do you like that?
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. You know, just to kind of closure on the home and your family, you know, develop a family emergency communication plan. It's not simple, but it will create a little less anxiety at the time of an emergency or disaster. You know, you should those really include you know, notification of school, out of state relatives, you know, any family or personal contact. Those people should be aware of what, you know, what's happening at home. You know, in this day and age of you know, the cell phones and the tweets and the this and the that, it's the instant communication. And when you 30 seconds for somebody trying to get a hold of you, and 30 seconds, you know, elapses, you know, they think it's like in doggy years. It's forever. You know, I want to go back. You know, Jenny had a question before, and it wasn't specific enough. And I'm sorry about that, Jenny. Let me read out your, you know, Jenny's question was regarding her utilities down in the basement and the dusted area, and it's on the floor. But Jenny's follow-up question to me, and I need to be a little more specific for her: do I call a plumber or an electrician to maintain my furnace or PSE&G? What needs to be done every quarter? Okay, so we'll go step by step, because again, I think I kind of really encapsulated it. That's, you know, sometimes I can talk a little too fast. I apologize to that, Jenny. I would call all three, okay, and in this sequence, depending on who calls you back first. But PSE&G is your last call. Let's go with your plumber. Your plumber, you know, you have your hot water heater, you have your boiler system. That's his world. He's the expert in there, okay. He'll give you the do's and don'ts. He's probably going to recommend some things that you can do for yourself. If he's a good plumber, he'll recommend things that you could do for yourself instead of him taking your money for simple tasks that could be provided and done by yourself. Your electrician should be called because there's going to be power to one of the utilities. And the plumber will not handle or do anything that's going to be attached. He might ground a wire here or there, maybe, but he's not going to be fooling around with the electrical panel. And I agree with that. You'd rather have two certified tradesmen handling what they do on a daily basis. They do work in conjunction, and if you don't have one or the other, one might know the other, and if you don't have either one, start asking family and friends for a recommendation. Because, you know, especially where we live, plumbers seem to be, you know, generational, and electricians, you know, it's like, oh, I've been using so-and-so since my dad bought the house back in the 60s. And you know what? There's a comfort level there. And, you know, someone comes into your house, you want to know that they have the same values, if you will, and care just the way you do. It's they're treating it like it's their property. And I think that's cool. That's why some of my clients, they could, when I do show up, specifically in New York City, when I have major issues over there with fires and floods, they call me up, I show up, I bring my guys, I bring my team, and they say, okay, they can just kind of wash their hands of it. Chris will handle it, he'll give me an update, and they go from there, and they have a little bit of peace of mind. Again, it's a smaller thing for a plumber and an electrician for you, but you know what, you're a single person, as in it's a single family dwelling, you know, you want that comfort level. So, but one of the things that I have in my house, and I think it's a fantastic thing, is, you know, getting that service plan with PSE&G. It's cheap. It is so cheap. And I don't want PSE&G to hear this and say, oh my God, it's cheap, but we gotta bang these people over the head. I'm just the aggravation. They're on call 24/7. They'll come out. They're a larger business, so you know there's going to be some there's street credibility there, if you will. And I'd get on that plan. I can't remember. My wife pays the bills, but if she's not listening, but she listens to me enough. So why would she want to listen to me on the radio? So I would, Jen, definitely call PSE&G after that. And what you do is they'll either over the phone or they'll mail something out to you, and you check off the appliances you have in your house. And it even goes for your built-in microwave and your oven, your dishwasher. It's fantastic, you know. Have them come out. It's pennies on the dollar for peace of mind, and you're getting a professional to come out, and you know, so all the licenses and all the rigmarole that goes along with that is all in play. So it's really a peace of mind, and I'm hoping I'm hoping that was helpful. And you and your kind of your follow, not the follow question, but part of the question, what needs to be done every quarter. Those things need to be done every quarter. Whether you just call your plumber and say, listen, I had no issues. You know, all the toilets are working properly. I mean, even those, you know, in the wintertime, you can have a half bath downstairs that you guys don't use that much, and the pipes run on the outside of the wall. Could be an older building and not insulated properly. You know, you could have a small little crack in there. It's not used very often. It's a little flush. Boom. Before you know it, the water's leaking out. It's coming down the finished basement. So you just, you know, it's kind of a checklist kind of thing. It's almost like in my garage, I have the recyclables, the calendar for the recyclables. You know, instead of me digging up for it, it's right there. You know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I know when to put out the commingles and the cardboard and the paper. It just makes these things, again, it's that preparedness thing. So just like when we, you know, the guys in the fire department always say, when you talk to people, just tell them, listen, spring ahead, fall back. That's the time you change your batteries or check your batteries or in your smoke detectors, your carbon monoxide detectors. If they're not hardwired, all new construction is hardwired. It is code. And I think it's national by the National Fire Association. And so those are the kinds of things that you need to have. I think need to be written down, because if you're like me, you know, besides work and you got the kids and you got this and you got that, you got job requirements, that we're squeezing so many things into a bag now. It used to be 5 pounds in a 3 pound bag. Now it's 10 pounds in a 3 pound bag. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast that we live in. Everything is go, go, go. I do have another question. Jenny, thanks for the follow up. And I hope I was helpful on those lines. I have a question from Tony. What are the most common type of disasters you deal with this time of year? It is going to be heavy rain, it's going to be trees, and it's going to be flooding. Especially after a winter like this, where we had a lot of snow, so we have all this runoff, and that's a majority of the issue was up there with the Ramapo and the Ramapo, more of the Ramapo than the Passaic, but a lot of the Ramapo was from the snow. That's what that's the intel I was getting from what are the national guys saying. What do they think it is? I agree with them. I'm just asking it for validation. But it's the water. It's definitely the water. And you know, it kind of goes with Jenny's question about plumber and electrician, PSE&G. You know what? A lot of people don't check their sump pumps. It can be a couple of years. If they live in a dry area and we have a winter like we did this year and last year, the bad thing about last year was the ground was frozen for so long. So the snow, and then we had that rain, it was still, I can't remember my geology classes in college, but it was almost like permafrost. So you had three inches of solid ground, and the water couldn't be absorbed, so you had flooding. I know, I got it in my house. My wife was not happy. You know, just moved into the house, but thank God I had gutted it, the basement prior to that. So that was one. That was only the silver lining out of it. So by common wise, it's definitely water. And there's more water damages in our industry than fire, because a lot more people are being proactive, and they're adhering to the local fire departments, whether paid or volunteer, and they're listening. They're going to the open houses that the local municipalities have. Those things are great, and especially, with the kids. It's hot dogs and sodas. What's better? You don't have to feed them. It's free food. So listening to them tell you about what you need to do. Again, spring ahead, fall back is we're changing the batteries if it's not hardwired, because some of the apartment buildings in our area are not hardwired because they're plastic buildings, and they have been they're kind of like grandfathered in. Which is kind of a bad thing, but it costs a lot of money to rewire. We're going to go to a quick station break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. We're closing it out in a few minutes. Hopefully it was an informative program for you. So, Tone, hopefully that was your question to me, and I answered it. I hope it was helpful along those lines. The water is, for me, it's a wild card, because water goes to its lowest lowest point, whether it's in a building, it's on the ground, it's always going to go to the lowest point. But, you know, you can't see the walls, you can't see inside the walls, let's just say. And the structures that were built many moons ago, there's different fill in between each floor. And if it's an apartment building, and some things are absorbent, some things aren't, and some things can run along mechanical lines, and they can end up on the completely other side of the apartment or the house, and you say, Jesus, what the heck is going on here? I mean, I have my bathrooms over here, or you're in the A-line of a building, A-line being, you know, every apartment's, you know, there's 1A, 2A, 3A, to make it a little more simplistic, and the water winds up in your living room, which is about 50 feet away. You know, but it could be in between floors. So with that, that's an apartment side. But again, it's water is the most common thing this type of year, and again, it is most common throughout our industry now. It's more water than it is than it was before. One of the, you know, we have so many disasters, and the program will be taking on some different types of disasters. I touched on it last week, and we do have. You know, there's the financial disasters. I have a great expert in that for disaster preparedness. There's also the health. We have major issues in this country, health driven. You have a large diabetes population that's growing every single year. So we'll have somebody speaking about that. And you know, when you think about, okay, it's health. What does that do with property and disasters along those lines? Let me tell you something. First responders spend an awful lot of time getting out the physically challenged people that I was talking about before. If it's in your house, you know, that's one of the things that you should definitely notify your local municipality, the fire department. You should tell them, listen, mom just moved in with us. She's wheelchair bound, you know, so she's down in the basement over here. So, you know, God forbid, you know, we're away or whatever. There's an incident. You know, these are those things. It's those little things, because it's like when you see on the news, like, well, the neighbor, they were nice people. I would never imagine it would have happened to them. They always seemed prepared. But you know what? It does. It happens every single day. I see it every day. You know, so to alleviate that future anxiety, do the ABCs. There's a lot of websites specifically given out by our government that the little tips and tools of the trade that you could offset a disaster, and the possibility of expanding on that disaster when it does happen in your house, whether it's flooding or fire or, you know, structural issues and collapses and neighbors, even, you know, full neighborhoods go without power. You know, what do you do there? And how do you get out? I mean, where I live, we didn't have any power. It was, we were trapped up there because the street was closed off by the trees. But I'm in the business of preparedness, so I was a lucky guy. I had some canned goods, and I we were able to make it out. I mean, it's very tough living here in Bergen County, you know. But anyway, it was a good show. Go on the comments page on the website and, throw something out there for me. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to get you the answer. And also with the Twitter and the Facebook. And we'll see you next week. And like I said, let's go ahead and end one of the largest disasters that's happening, at least for me, my opinion. It's the war. Let's end the war. Let's bring home our troops. And, take care and see you next week. All right? Bye-bye.